Coming up on your favorite podcast, breaking Tiger Woods news as we start our golf podcast this week. Ty and I will be here to break it all down for you. Then we will get into Kevin Na's victory over at the Sony and make our way to the American Express on the lower 48 continental United States soil out in California. It's Phil's tournament. Go through our picks and get you up to speed with all things golf in a very busy golf week. It's Ty, it's me, it's next, and it's on the pod. Hey, it's the Tim Anderson Podcast. I'm Tim Anderson. It's the PGA Preview Pod, week three, and we make our way out of Hawaii, and we move our way to the continental U.S. Once again, I'm Tim, and I'm joined alongside my good friend Ty Schrupp, who, by the way, sponsor of the program, by the way, quick word for my guy Ty. He has his own State Farm little shop set up here in the north suburbs of Minneapolis, and Ty wants you to give him a call sometime. So do me a favor and just do that. Ty, right? They can give you a call anytime. They need help. They need insurance stuff, right? Like home insurance, auto insurance?
Yep. I do it all. Appreciate the shout out. 651-493-1516. Anytime. Thanks for having me in, Tim.
Anytime.
I got the invite back.
Well, yeah. See, you earned the invite back. And I'm hoping you can move some insurance while we're in here, too, talking golf. Little things here. You know, here's the thing. We're going to help each other out.
That sounds good.
Absolutely. Hey, breaking news right out of the top of the program. We have to get to it because it really came. I want to say it was a surprise, but not a surprise. And we'll kind of talk about this in a minute. But Tiger Woods has announced that he is out indefinitely. Certainly out for the next two tournaments that he normally would play, which would be the Farmers Insurance at Torrey and also the RIV at the Genesis Open, where he would normally host. And he's still going to host, but not going to play. He had a fifth back surgery, a microdiscectomy, to relieve some pressure on a nerve in his back. That's back surgery number five. We do not know a timetable for his return, but I'm guessing he had this shortly after. I don't think he had this today. I'm assuming he had this fairly recently, maybe right after the PNC with his son Charlie. So this might be something that has been planned all along. We are just hearing about it now. Ty, your thoughts on this?
I shed a few tears. I'm a big Tiger guy. Everybody's a big Tiger guy. But the biggest thing I'm thinking about is not that it's the fifth back surgery. It's the majors. It's the Ryder Cup. And it's, could this be the end of the end? I don't know. We'll see. Like, hopefully it was planned, like you said, and it's minor. But I just want him back. Golf wants him back.
It's, to me, you do get to a point of no return on things like backs, right? Backs, NBA players, it's ankles and knees. And you do just hit a wall at some point. But the back for a golfer is, it is the whole thing. And if you don't have a back in your golf game, you can't play. And I think we started, it's one of those things where I was talking about this in the Masters pod and a little bit leading up to the season with people, that I was just concerned in Tiger's inability to play four straight rounds, basically, without some kind of stiffness, without some kind of issue. Because if you recall, the first year he was back out on tour, you really never saw any of that. I mean, he had his days where he just wasn't as good, but it wasn't because his swing looked stiff and sore. He just, it was on its way back. He looked great that first year back. That 2018, all the way up until he wins at Augusta, I mean, I would argue he looked as good as he ever did, and he was swinging it fine. But then you started to see some little signs creep in. You saw that the cold weather at Royal Portrush wasn't good for him. So you chalk it up to cold weather. You chalk up the U.S. Open at Pebble to cold weather. He wins at the Zozo in Japan. He looks great at the President's Cup. But even at the President's Cup, he's not able to play every single day and not play in 36 holes. And this year on tour, in limited events, he just looked like he couldn't play four consecutive days.
Yeah, I mean, kind of the narrative behind that is everyone's hoping that it's just he's trying to eliminate future back issues, but I think we're finding out that it's probably more so that the back just isn't good. It wasn't good all along. You only have one back. Like you said, it's an ACL for a running back. It's a back for a golfer. It's, you got to have it, and he doesn't. And I'm worried about my guy. I hope not. This could be the end.
I think if he doesn't play Augusta, why play the whole year? The U.S. Open's at Torrey, and he won at Torrey. He ain't winning at Torrey, right? Let's be honest here. Like, he's not winning at that golf course. It's too big a ballpark for him now. He doesn't drive it like he used to. He is sublime with his irons when he's rolling, but, like, he's not winning the U.S. Open anymore. Like, he's not winning at Kiowa. I mean, that's just not a Tiger course at this stage. And is he going to go all the way overseas to Royal St. George's and play the British? Like, if he doesn't play Augusta, he's not playing.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any reason to. He seems like the kind of guy at this stage of his career that if he's not in the mix, if he's not able to win, I just don't even think he's going to play. I don't think he's interested in playing.
And the thing that's always been weird about me with watching Tiger the last couple of years is he'll still play in these like FedEx Cup playoff events and stuff like that. And I'm just like, who cares? Like, why are you playing in the Northern Trust? Like, is it really that important that you go for the FedEx Cup? Like, it's not important. Why are you even playing these events? But here's the thing. If you are going to be on the PGA Tour and you're serious about being really good, like, these guys are great, and they're playing 15 to 20 times a year, and Tiger's teeing it up 8-9 times. Like, that's not enough. Like, if you can't go 13 to 15 events, I mean, you can't be out there. Like, I just don't know if you can be out there. And especially, like I said, I think Augusta's the tournament. If he can't play at Augusta, I don't know when we'll see him again, if we ever do, because he's 45 now, and I don't know what we can realistically expect from a 45-year-old Tiger who right now has the body of a 60-year-old.
He's not far away from the senior tour.
And he ain't, and you know this as well as I do. He ain't playing 1 minute on that champions tour. No chance.
And that's why I think you do see him in those playoff events, because he likes to show up when the big guys are there. He doesn't care. I mean, you could argue the Zozo or what. He doesn't care about showing up and beating no-name guys. He doesn't care about showing up and beating a couple of good guys. He wants to show up when all the good guys are there, and he wants to beat them. I think besides majors at this point, that's his motivation. He also seems to have an odd obsession with fitting in with the young guys all of a sudden at these team events like the President's Cup and Ryder Cup. Did you sense that at all with Justin Thomas? In the President's Cup, he was playing great. It was fun to watch, but it just didn't seem like vintage Tiger. He seemed like he really cared about the approval of these young guys.
Yeah, it does seem like that, especially with Thomas. Like, it feels like a reverse Mark O'Meara Tiger Woods thing. Like, when Tiger got on tour, it was O'Meara, the veteran that kind of took Tiger under his wing and always played practice rounds with him and wanted to hang out with him all the time, that sort of thing. Now it's like him and Thomas are that. Like, his dad coaches Charlie, and they're buddies, and, you know, Justin Thomas is hanging out at Tiger's house, and it does seem like he's trying to, you know, that he's tight with some of these dudes. He likes Bryson DeChambeau a lot. Like, those guys talk a lot. It's just, you do see it, like, I will say, like, older Tiger has taken that sort of elder statesman lead the tour role model position that I didn't think he'd ever take, to be perfectly honest. Like, I thought he would be like, he was in FU mode from the second he showed up on tour, like, all the way through. I didn't see that changing anytime, and that has changed. And this Tiger has been really aware of his place, I think, in the annals of the game, and looks to give back and to be relevant. Like, I think he wants the Justin Thomases and all those guys to speak nicely of him, and future generations to call him Mr. Woods, you know, like they do everybody else. I think that that's important to Tiger. I do. And I think to change that, you have to get out front of that and change the narrative. And that's what he's done the last few years. I want to see him get back. I hope he does. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned that, first of all, this thing has been kind of hidden. But again, you saw the signs. Like, as I mentioned, the fact that he really couldn't play four rounds. But even at that PNC with Charlie, I mean, I was watching Charlie hit the tee shots. on most of the holes. Like, Tiger would basically be like, oh, Charlie hit the ball. Okay, we're good. And not even hit a tee ball. Like, Tiger was content to just hit 80-yard wedge shots the entire day because, you know, Charlie was playing from such an up tee and was driving it down the fairway. There were a lot of holes where on day two, Tiger wasn't even hitting drivers. So that tells you, like, Tiger doesn't want to hit a driver. You kidding? That, I mean, it's, it just doesn't, it just, it felt a little off. So we'll keep an eye on that one. I'm hoping that that, hopefully this little issue resolves itself and maybe he's back out there at Augusta. We'll see, but it's indefinite for now. We don't know the timetable. Obviously, you can keep listening to the PGA Tour preview pod here on my podcast, and we'll continue to let you know. Because we all know Ty is plugged in. You know, from you know, he's got the Rogers rate and the Patrick Price and all of that stuff, but he's got a Tiger tracker as well that he's very much dialed into over there at the State Farm office.
Yeah, we have a direct line. It's like on the sideline of a football game. You pick it up and Tiger answers.
It's a big time thing. You know, I'm surprised you guys don't sponsor Tiger. I feel like you would. I feel like that's a big time company. They should be right behind Tiger, I would think. Anyway, Ty won't hear me. He doesn't want to get into that answer. Are you kidding me? Let's talk Sony Open. Kevin Na wins the event. Shoots 21 under par in 4 days at Waialae. It ends pretty much about like we thought it would end. Somebody was going to win in the 20s. The course is a birdie fest. Kevin Na just makes more birdies than everybody else in the final round, and he wins. Did you watch much of this?
I was on a nice fishing weekend, but I did watch most of the round on Sunday, and I watched all of the highlights. So congratulations to Kevin Na. Not the most likable guy, but there's not a great reason. He's a good golfer. He's a nice guy. He's well-spoken. You know, the stuff that's come out lately with his caddy and, you know, seeing his family on the I'm trying to think of a reason not to like Kevin Na, and I can't figure it out. So
do you think it goes back? Does it go back to his yips that he had in like 2011, 2012 when he was like the slowest guy on the tour and he couldn't take the ball? He couldn't take the club back in his backswing. And it just felt just like I hated him, but I also felt bad for him because I think you felt like he just couldn't do it. And that's what we're coming to learn here as we go. It wasn't him being a slow player as much as it was just him having a mental yip that was off the charts and had to be terrifying in front of a national television audience. But that's where much of his reputation comes from, don't you think?
Yeah, and I do think, you know, he was a slow player. He was meticulous. Man, he would read putts forever. But I do think he's a guy who cares what other people think. He was known as the slowest player on tour until Bryson came along. And I do think that he did try to correct that. But yeah, it probably had something to do with the fact that he also couldn't play golf. One time, it was probably right in that stretch, I saw he got a 15 on a hole, and the broadcast showed him searching for balls in patrons' backyard. So yeah, that's not a good look.
That wasn't a good look. Yeah, I remember that tournament. And it was also, it was not long. It was in that year at the Players where he was actually in the lead or tied for the lead and in contention in the final groups on Saturday and Sunday and literally just can't take a 3-wood back. Like, just sat on the tee box for 5 minutes and just couldn't get the club to do anything and yet was still finding his way to be in contention. And it was just, I don't know how you do it, but now he's won 5 times. It does appear that he plays faster, and the whole walking the putts gimmick in seems to be working for him now. Like, he's got his own logo on the back of his shirt of him walking putts in, which is pretty ridiculous, but it's a little gimmick that's working. He's found a niche here on tour, and he got a big win, but I thought his comments, Ty, were the interesting thing. After the tournament, he said that he has to take advantage of courses like this because there are only a few courses on the tour where he really feels like he can win at. And it's interesting because Kevin Kisner said something similar to that where he said, you know, I can't win everywhere on tour. I can't win at Bethpage Black. Then the guy asked, well, why do you play? He's like, well, because they pay a lot for 20th place. You know, so, which is a great Kisner answer. It's classic Kevin Kisner. But, I mean, like, what do you make of that comment? And what is that? Is that an indictment on anything, or is that just the short guys whining a little bit? Like, I don't know. Like, it was interesting that Na wasn't the only guy to say that.
Yeah, I looked at those I saw that interview, and I I thought, man, you know, maybe there's something to that. If you look, there's not a lot of young guys that are short hitters coming up. Not the people you're hearing about anyway. But then I looked at, and again, we're in January. But if you look at the last, starting with this week, the yardages of the tournament, 7,181, 7,147, 7,044, 7,596, 7,017, 7,005, 7,060. They're all kind of in that ballpark a little bit. So I don't quite buy into the fact that this is the one of a couple tournaments that he can hang in. You know, all the conditions are going to matter. All courses are different, but I think that a guy like him can hang in more tournaments than just this. But I'm glad he was able to, if he feels confident at this tournament and he was able to strike while the iron was hot, more power to him.
The thing that's always interesting, my comeback always is, you know, Colin Morikawa isn't the biggest hitter on tour. And, you know, everybody talks about him as a favorite every time he tees it up. But it's because he's a masterful iron player. He's a great iron player. But it's not like he's 380 off the tee here. I mean, he's, you know, he's 280, 290, 300, which is long enough on this tour. Patrick Reed, not the longest guy on tour. They yelled at Spieth for years because he was not the longest guy on tour. And yet, that's when he was at his best, when he wasn't. When he tried to get length, that's when his game really fell off a cliff here. So, it's a weird juxtaposition to be in, right? Because, yes, you want to have length. You want to be able to hang out there with those guys. But at the same time, is there other things you can do to be dominant? And, like, I look at Kisner. He won the WGC match play as a, you know, as a regular medium hitter. And I think medium hitters are fine out here. I just think there might be too much of that. I do think they got to make an adjustment, because I don't like Bryson DeChambeau hitting at 420 off the tee and having wedges into par fives. I'd like to see something done about that. But at the same time, I'm not sure that there's only five ballparks that the short guys can win at.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's true that short players can't go long. Long players can go short. But I just think, like you said, there's more than just a couple tournaments that these guys can hang in. But there is something behind. Once the course gets too long, of course, you know, you're not going to pick them. But there's enough courses that these guys can play, and they can make their money, and they can, you know, get in the mix for the FedEx playoffs. And there's majors. You know, not every major is 7,700 yards. There's, you know, I'm not sure. What's Augusta?
Augusta, you know, I mean, they've moved Augusta back. 75? I mean, yeah, 75 now or something like that. But even then, with the shape Augusta's in, other than what we saw in November, Augusta very rarely plays the way it played in November, where it's, you know, where length was really an advantage because it was all carry. You weren't getting the rollout. And normally when they get that place firmed up in April, you know, you can, yeah, bombers can bomb it, but, you know, you get plenty of fairway roll. The shorter hitters got short irons into greens too, just the same. So, I mean, I think about it like this. I've always said it's the opposite approach. Lengthening it only gives you an advantage. And I always resort that back to when you and I play, because you're 20 to 30 yards longer than me off the tee consistently. And with every iron, you're 20 to 30 yards longer than me. If we played the tips, you know, we play from 6,900 yards. You have a distinct advantage from that distance. If we played from 7,000 yards, you'd have a distinct advantage. I couldn't hang with you, right? Because you'd be able to go driver and 5-iron, 4-iron, 6-iron, 7-iron, and I'd have to go driver 3-wood, driver hybrid, everything into every hole. However, I find when me and you have our most competitive games, it's when we're playing a shorter course. Like if we play from 63, 62, and your length is negated a little bit, yes, you're still longer than me. But there are holes where your driver is a problem, and you got to dial back. Like, and you got to hit 5-irons and 4-irons and hit woods, and then you got to hit something different into the greens than I do. And I feel like I can hang with you when we play at that distance. I mean, I feel like the PGA is going about this all wrong. They need to play from 71 more often than they do 78.
Yeah, but I mean, I do think that they are playing from 7,000 yards more often than these guys play it out to be, I guess, is my point. But
I mean, what they need to do is also play courses that have more penal situations for bad shots.
That I'm with. I love a good 18 where a guy can hit it in the water and crash and burn. That's my favorite. You got to have a good stretch where guys can get in big trouble. That you have to have that in a course. If 16, 17, 18 are all birdie holes and I could hit the ball 30 yards right and be just fine, I'm out.
I need risk reward, and that was the issue with the Sony this weekend, is that 18 was like the worst they're going to do at 18 is make par. That was the worst they could do at 18. Like, nobody was going to double bogey 18. And the par 3 17 isn't all that difficult, and 16 is not all that difficult. So really there was no, like, risk reward where we could see an eagle or a double bogey or something crazy. That didn't exist in the last handful of holes. This is what I like about, like, the 3M here at TPC Twin Cities. There's a lot of water. Yes, that par 5 finishing hole, you can make eagle, but you can also dunk it, and you can make double bogey. And I kind of like that. Bay Hill, same thing. I like 18 at Bay Hill because I like that it could be a birdie. I also like it could be double bogey. If you give me those kind of holes at the finish, and I'm in. I'm all in. I think that's the kind of golf I want to see all the time. It doesn't have to be U.S. Open hard, but it doesn't have to be the freaking pitch and putt either. You know, I'd like to see something in the middle where we get some risk reward out there.
I am all for finishing on a par five as well. I like it that there's a decision to be made for the second shot. I love that.
Me too. I'm in on the par fives. Let me ask you this about guys like Na, because he's a great putter. He's trying to get on the Ryder Cup team this year. That's a big deal to him because he wants to make the Ryder Cup team once in his career. I've been kind of saying this for a while, that the U.S. needs to be more strategic in their captain's picks. Like, instead of just taking the four hottest guys, like, take guys with skill sets that, like, you need on a golf course. Like, they're going to play Whistling Straits this year. You need bombers. Yes, you do. But you need guys that can putt, you know, can putt, you know, undulating greens, different speeds. And this is what did them in when they went to Paris in 2018. Was they brought a whole bunch of guys who did the same thing, redundant skill sets, none of them could make putts, and none of them could hit fairways consistently, and they lost. Like, they have to go into this Ryder Cup going, what do we need? Well, we got plenty of length, we got Koepka and DJ and all these guys. What do we have to have beyond that? Well, you got to have great iron players. All right, who do we have for that? Who's your wedge guy? Who's your guaranteed putter? Like, Kevin Na should be on the team, or Jordan Spieth, because those guys make putts. Like, I get it. That Jordan Spieth's all over the place, so maybe you don't want to take him, but he makes putts. Like, there's a place on the team for a guy who makes 30-footers in foursomes in an alternate shot. Am I right?
Maybe in a scramble. I'm not bringing Spieth. Although we're not, it's not the Ryder Cup. I mean, Spieth could have a great year this year. I just don't see it coming. But a guy like Kevin Na, sure, I can take that. He's not going to lose you a match on his own merit, but he might win it for you on the greens. Like I said, I'm just not quite there with Spieth. But Whistling Straits is interesting because, like you said, you do need. I mean, it can be an overpowering golf course at times, a little bit targety. But it's all I know is it's going to be fun. I don't know if you have rider picks put together, but I got a few guys I like for it and some fringe guys, and Kevin Na is there.
If you take Tiger out of the mix, which I think we all have to agree he's probably out of the mix now for the Ryder Cup, right? Unless he comes back and he's just super healthy, right? That opens the door up here because that Koepka had an off year last year. He's coming back from injury. He's playing this week at the American Express, but we don't know what he's going to be like. Ricky Fowler hasn't been right for 2 years. Spieth hasn't been right for 2-3 years. You got a lot of guys that were on that 18 Ryder Cup team that may not make this team. So who are you looking at?
The shoe-ins are DJ, Bryson, JT,
yep.
Schauffele,
yep.
Morikawa. I think Webb Simpson's a shoe-in.
Yep, those six guys probably locks, right? Cantlay maybe?
Cantlay, Patrick Reed, just because he's Captain America, I think he's played well enough. As
he
long
has
as he
well
has
enough.
An above average season, I think he'll be there.
I agree.
I don't see them not taking Tony Finau. It probably doesn't matter too much what he does. Plays a ton of tournaments. He's going to have a ton of points. going towards Ryder Cup status. I just think he'll sneak in maybe even in the top eight.
See, he's one of those guys that I don't think should be a shoe-in. If he's not in the top eight, I don't know, other than the fact that he drives it long, but again, I got enough guys who do that. I don't need another guy who hits it 340 off the tee. I need a guy who can putt, and Finau can't putt. So if he doesn't make the top eight, I don't think that's a guarantee.
Right.
You know, I don't think he should be just locked in because everybody has this perception that he's a great player. Like, he's got to win something. Winning in Puerto Rico doesn't work. You got to win in the continental U.S. That's my rule. Got to win in the continental U.S. That's the only way it counts. It's the only way it counts. So, okay.
What,
so probably
Finau. What about Daniel Berger?
Now, Berger's interesting, right? Because he's played well recently. He's had some form. He's played well recently. He played well this last week at Sony. He won at Colonial. So, I mean, he's an interesting guy to look at. Everybody keeps pointing me to Matthew Wolff, and I'm like, well, Wolff won at 3M, and he was in the final group at the U.S. Open, but I don't know. His game feels like it comes and goes, too. Like, he'll have a great week, and then he'll disappear for a week, and you just can't have guys like that on the team, I don't think, can you? Like, Bubba Watson, you can't have guys like – you can't run Bubba back out there. No. You can't. You can't have him on the team.
Yeah, Bubba's not healthy. I don't see, and that you went back to the strategy of having a strategy and not just picking the big names or picking the bombers. I think that yeah, Bubba's got to be out. Phil's for sure got to be out, and Tiger's probably got to be out unless he gets hot, you know, right before the Ryder Cup and maybe wins a major, contends in a major. I think those guys have to be out. But when it comes to a guy like Matthew Wolff or Scottie Scheffler, those the guys that they want in so that they can be ready for future events, or do you have to think about right now? I don't know. What's the strategy?
Would you rather have Scottie Scheffler right now or Tiger? I mean, if Tiger is the same Tiger where basically he can't play 36 holes, so you're like, okay, he can't be played twice on, so he can only play in one session on Saturday, one session on Friday. I can't play him, and he's a risk to play back-to-back days. To me, that's a non-starter. Now, I love having Tiger, and I would love him on the team, but if you can't give me four of the five sessions, like, to me, you can't be out there. I would rather have Scottie Scheffler under those circumstances, wouldn't you? I mean, I feel like that's kind of a no-brainer there. The U.S. team, for being as deep-sounding as they are, they just have a lot of names. I don't know if they got a lot of guys that I'd want in a big spot as of yet. You know, I think that's a scary proposition here.
Do you love DJ on Sunday in his singles match?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take DJ. I feel like he's at least closing the deal a little more often than other people. Like, even Xander Schauffele, for as good as Schauffele is, he doesn't... I mean, I'd like to see him win more. Like,
he fades a lot on Sunday.
Yeah. That stuff concerns me.
He's always at the top, and he always seems to fade on Sunday.
Yeah, that stuff concerns me. And Gary Woodland is missing in action. He's nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. He ever since he won the U.S. Open, he's been just gone. But meanwhile, you look over at Europe, and you say, Rahm's playing really well. McIlroy will be fine for a Ryder Cup. Serge has won recently. Serge is always good for a Ryder Cup. Poulter's always good for a Ryder Cup. Joaquin Niemann's not quite that because he'd be on the President's Cup, so it's not him. But Victor Hovland is Norwegian. Victor Hovland would be a great Ryder Cup pick for them. They've got options that are good options, like that they can, you know, throw out there and play. Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, Fleetwood needs to win more, but. They've got the tried and true guys along with some young guys who are on form. And, like, this American team's got – this is a big year for some guys, some of these American players that need to step forward and need to show that they're legit week in and week out. I'm interested to see how it plays out. Ryder Cup year is going to be really fun this year, I think.
What's it going to be like if there's they're going to have some sort of fan base, but what's it going to be like with limited fans at the Ryder Cup? Such a big part of the Ryder Cup.
Well, it was going to be limited fans anyway, because that's not a place that venue is not a great venue for a Ryder. I don't think this is a great venue for a Ryder Cup because it plays too much like a European tour course, really, because it's linksy. There's nothing there for you. There's no advantage to you to play there. I think, and also because of the terrain, it's really hilly, really rocky. You're not going to have a ton of stands, you know, and that means you're going to have a, you know, it's just you're going to have limited seats anyway, limited tickets, limited infrastructure regardless. Now, it is September and we're a long way from there. I don't know what this looks like in 9 months. We don't know. I hope it'll be a place where you can have even 75, 80% of what you would have had. I think in order for it to be really a fun event, I think you got to have that. Otherwise, I don't think there's a point in doing it. They said that this year. There's no point in having the Ryder Cup if you can't have fans.
Right. Wouldn't it be great if it comes down to DJ on 18 and he hits it in a waste bunker? That's what I'm hoping for.
I would have him call over like 7 rules officials before he does anything. I'd be like, what are you doing? Or just bring Patrick Reed over there. He knows what to do in those things. Like, you know, he shovels that stuff right out of there. No problem at all. No problem at all.
Who's the rules official? Not Gunner.
Slugger?
What's his name?
Slugger? Got to get Slugger White in there?
Slugger White.
Yeah. You know what you got?
Slugger following around the whole time.
You know, it's interesting though too, because this is a big changing of the guard. If you don't have Phil and you don't have Tiger, do those guys just jump right into a vice captain situation and you keep them, you know, and you start to build? Because Phil's going to captain. A lot of people think, like, didn't the Ryder Cup at Bethpage in like 4 years? A lot of people feel like Phil's going to captain at Bethpage or whenever they're in New York for the Ryder Cup. But maybe it's time to start putting Phil in as vice captain. Maybe it's time for Tiger to vice captain with Phil. And is that going to change the dynamic of things? I don't know, but this is going to be an interesting 9 months to watch, because some of these American players got to kick it in gear here if they want to be there. The guys that you thought would be there, the Fowlers, the Spieths, the Kepkas, I don't know if they're locks at this point, and they need to step on it if they're going to get there. All right, you and I, we made picks last week in our daily fantasy. Let's just say I've broken even through 2 weeks. Which is a good thing. I made, you know, good performances by Morikawa and Sepp Straka got me into the money last week for daily fantasy. So I'm very excited about that. So I'm ready to knock out my picks this week. Are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
First of all, let's talk about the event. It is the American Express. It's the one Phil hosts. It used to be the Bob Hope. It used to be a big 5-round Bob Hope tournament. Then it became the Humana Challenge for a while, and then it didn't have a sponsor. Now Phil has basically brought in American Express, and Phil's the host of it now, and it's kind of a fun event. They play PGA West, which is a Pete Dye course. It reminds you a lot of Sawgrass at times. It has the Alcatraz Par 3, which is an island Par 3. Kind of fun. It's a fun venue. They play the other two courses with there. I think it's like La Quinta and I think some other venue. They play three, I think. But I think that's normally when they have
no
a
pro. No La Quinta this year.
Yeah, no La Quinta.
Stadium, and then they're playing the Nicklaus course.
Yeah, and they're doing the same thing. Yeah, they're doing the same thing at the Pro-Am, which we'll get it when we get into the Pebble Beach thing. I'm so excited to talk about that, because less Bill Murray, less Clint Eastwood, and I'm in. Like, I've been saying that for years. I've been way out on the PGA, on the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, because I hate the AM part of it. So yep. I'm totally in on that. I love the idea of just playing the two courses. I really like the stadium course. I think it's a pretty course. It's got some pretty good scenic views. It's fun to look at, but it's the tournament is sandwiched in a horrible spot. Like, it's right after Hawaii, and it's right in front of Torrey and Pebble and Riviera and all these other great places that they go to, and Waste Management. At Scottsdale. So, I mean, it's just a horrible place for this, but they have a pretty decent field this year. So I'm kind of excited to talk about who's going to win this tournament. It's a pretty good field. Let's go through our fantasy picks, see how we did. How'd you do last week? Did you make money?
I did not. I was lucky enough to have a couple of guys make the cut. I think you and I tied for we both had a T7 finisher, but I had 3 missed cuts, so it was not a good week for me.
Yeah, all of my guys made the cut last week, and they kind of just hovered. My best finishes were Straka and Colin Morikawa. Everybody else just kind of hovered in the 30s. But all of my guys made the cut, which is kind of the key here. How many of your guys can make the cut in these daily fantasy things? So here's my my top guy for this week that I picked, my high-price money guy. I took Tony Finau. Now, again, with this, you're given like 60,000 or 50,000 mythical bucks to draft 6 players, and I spent $10,500 on Tony Finau. Guys like Kepka, too rich for my blood. Like, they were just too much money, I couldn't go for it. So I'm going to go Finau first, because he's made 6 of 6 cuts, and he has 2 top 10s. That's just what he does. He just makes cuts. I don't think he wins a lot, but I want guys who can make cuts and get in the top 10. Finau seems like one of those guys. And this seems like a Finau kind of course.
Yeah, but it's continental U.S., so
it is continental U.S., which means he's liable to choke. There's no question about that.
He'll be there. He'll be there on Sunday. Good pick. My first pick was Patrick Reed. I do not like him, but he wins tournaments. This just seems like the tournament he shows up and wins.
What is his deal? Like, his fashion was all over he has no clothing deals. Like, nobody wants to touch him. It just seemed like he was all over the place fashion-wise that century. It's like he had a Nike deal. That's gone. Somebody get that guy some clothing. He looks terrible. Like, who's dressing him anyway?
I think his wife dresses him. And I actually do want to bring up, I did consult with my wife, and she's not a fan of joggers. So
thank you.
They're out.
Thank you. I'm really glad. I'm glad that she sees it my way. Thank you. Thank you. My best to the wife on that one. All right, number two for me. I got to take my guy, the Iron Byron. I'm going to take Sungjae Im. I took him for $9,900. Sungjae Im has made two cuts. He's made 9 of 10 cuts, 2 top 10s. That guy just plays and he makes cuts. That's what he does. And he won last year at Honda. I think it's a matter of time before he wins 3 to 4 tournaments a year and has just a breakout year because he's not like Matsuyama. Matsuyama is the worst putter I've ever seen. Im can he's at least passable as a putter. If he ever becomes a good putter, forget it. It's over. But if he right now, he's just passable. If he ever gets good, forget it. It's over. I say that about Matsuyama too, but he's gotten worse. He could putt with a Bodor and wouldn't make anything. So who's your guy?
I took Matthew Wolf. He's got to prove he can win smaller or win a few smaller tourneys before I'll put him in the major conversation. Like you said, he was in the final group, I think, in the U.S. Open. But this is the type of tourney he can win. I think he'll show up. He'll look at the field, and I think there's a chance he could dust him. So we'll see.
This is a big one for him. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the field sets up well for him. I think this is Genkis country out here. That's his coach in that Southern California area. This should be good for him. Like, he should be right at home in a place like this, I think. Matthew Wolf should play well. At least if you want to get in the game, you want to get in the mix as a Ryder Cup contender, as somebody we think we can count on, I agree with you, Ty. I think he has to play well here. All right, number three. I'm going to take Chris Kirk. Fresh off a really good finish last week. He kept his card. It's really the best story on the PGA Tour. I don't know why the PGA Tour is not moving all their chips to the table to sell the hell out of this story. Because to me, like, Chris Kirk's story of overcoming alcoholism and depression to fight back, to earn his tour card on the last possible opportunity. I mean, that's movie stuff, man. That's fantastic. So I'm rooting hard for Chris Kirk. And he's on form. He's made 7 of 9 cuts. He has 2 top 10s and played really well last week at Sony. So I'm gonna say that he's playing a heater, and I think he goes well here this week. I think Chris Kirk's my guy. I like him here. $7,600 on Chris Kirk.
Cool story, yeah. Last chance, he needed a top three to get full exemption, and T2. Pretty cool deal.
It is a cool deal. Pick. I like that one.
My number three, Scottie Scheffler, reigning rookie of the year on tour. Not really a rookie. He's not much younger than guys like Justin Thomas and Rick. You know, I guess Ricky Fowler's a little older. But
would you be surprised? I think he's speed sage. Would you be surprised if you found out that Scottie Scheffler was 38 years old?
No.
He doesn't look like 23. Am I right? Like, he looks older than me. Now, yeah. I would swing like him if I could, but I'm just saying he looks like an older man. He doesn't look 23. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I just think he's a really good golfer. Pretty much does everything well. Hits it just long enough. Putts well. Good around the green. So I think he takes a big step forward this year, and where better to start than the American Express.
I kind of like his golf swing too, right? It's got a little like swashbuckle to it too. It's not like Morikawa where it's this really sublime, artistic little butter cut. Like, Scheffler is like coming out of his shoes when he's swinging. I mean, it's all elbows. I mean, he's just everywhere with it. So I kind of like watching Scheffler play because it's got a little swashbuckle to it. I kind of like it. All right, I'm going to ride the hot hand. I'm going to stay with the heater. My guy, Sepp Straka. I had 7,400. Sepp gets in the lineup for 2 weeks in a row. 8 of 9 cuts made. He has a top 10. And again, Sepp's just as solid as Sears, man. All that guy does is make cuts. And when you're trying to play daily fantasy, you got to find guys that can just hang around and give you a chance. And Straka, he's not going to shoot 61 or 62, but he's going to do enough to make the cut. And all of a sudden, he's going to be there, top 15, top 20 at the end of the week. So I'm going to take Sepp Straka, 7,400.
All right. My next guy is Cameron Tringale. I was surprised to see him as low as he was. This is the point in my picking where I've spent a bunch of money and I just have to scroll past a bunch of guys and then stop and say, okay, I can afford a guy in this territory. Cameron Tringale is what I came across. He's, you know, he's same situation. He makes cuts. He's a good player, a lot of top end talent, and you know, you never know, he could win. So you pick a guy like Cameron Tringale and he wins and you make money. So that's my guy for this week.
It's interesting with Tringale that he did a lot of, like, it kind of, Bryson got all the headlines for gaining the distance that he did. But if you look at Tringale's driving stats, like, he's made substantial gains off the tee, like, in the last couple of years. Like, he's done a lot of speed training, I think, and he's picked up, like, 15 yards off the tee. And he's starting to become one of those deep bombers on golf courses. So he's a guy to look at because it seems like he'll be in the mix more, especially in places where the rough's not super damning and really challenging. Tringale could be a good pick this week. I wouldn't mind that one. All right, my number five, I'm gambling a little bit here. $7,400. What has happened to my guy, Charlie Hoffman? Taking him with the fifth pick, 7 of 9 cuts made. He has one top 10. But man, Charlie Hoffman just was like a, I mean, he would never win, but he would have first round and second round leads, I swear, more than anybody else on the tour. And I feel like I haven't seen Charlie Hoffman really contend in a while.
Especially in majors, there's nothing like waking up on Thursday, looking at the scoreboard and seeing Charlie Hoffman 4 under on in first place, then fade from there.
I think he got a haircut, like he cut the mullet. And I think when he did that, it's like he took his superpowers away. It's just horrible. Grow it back.
I think he needs to bust out the green glove from the Waste Management Open.
Yeah, get the green glove out. What are you doing, Chuck? Like, you're messing around with the aura, with the vibe. Quit trying to be like everybody else. Quit trying to conform, man. He's like Rick Vaughn in Major League 2. He's like, I'm wearing contact lenses now. I'm not going to wear the glass. I'm not going to throw fastballs all the time. I'm going to mix in a curveball. I'm like, no, don't do that. Dance with the girl that brung you. Let's go. I'm upset with Charlie Hoffman. All right, who's your fifth?
This is a name you're going to recognize. He's a no-laying up guy. Max Homa.
Oh, you took my sixth guy. That was my sixth guy. I love it. I love it.
He's a little inconsistent, but he's from California. And when he's making birdies, he can make a ton of them.
You and I are thinking the same way here.
He's not my top pick to make the cut. But if he does make the cut, you never know.
I like him for $7,000. Like, I mean, he was pretty cheap. Right. But I like that, yeah, it's a home game for him. He's a Southern California guy. He's played all of these golf courses. Like, he has played this golf course, like, a bunch of times, you know, before he even got on tour. He's comfortable in the surroundings. And, you know, he's due. I think he's due for a little mojo. He hasn't played great. He's, you know, he's kind of scuffled. He's only made 3 of 6 cuts since the restart of the season in the fall. He hasn't had his best stuff. I just feel like he's due. I just think he's ready to break out because there was a stretch there 2 years ago after he won at Quail Hollow where you thought Max is ready to go on a run, like, because he's got the game. He's a good he can hit it far enough. He's a good iron player. He's a pretty darn good putter. Like, I expect Max Homa to be in better contention. More contention than he is. It's surprising to me. So I'm taking Max Homa. So who's your sixth guy?
Made my lineup back-to-back weeks. Actually played well last week. Finished T25, I believe. Michael Thompson. Hasn't missed a cut this season. My guy, officially.
I like that. That's nice. So we're going to ride that out this week. We're going to see how we do. But if you had to pick a winner, either from your daily fantasy or just from the roster of who's playing in this tournament, who do you like to win this week, or who would you like to see win this week? What would be a good story if so? Who won this week?
You know, I don't know. I didn't think too much about what the best story would be. I think the best chance to win is Patrick Cantlay, though.
Yeah, I like Cantlay this week.
Maybe the best player in the field. I just feel like I could go to Vegas and throw a bunch of money down and say Patrick Cantlay is gonna finish in the top 10, and I'd feel pretty darn good about it.
Yeah, I like Cantlay. If Cantlay were to win, I think it would be a big statement because he won at Sherwood at the Zozo this fall. That would give him two wins in like his last three or four starts. He's played, you know, it really, his iron game is, I mean, it is beautiful. Like, he is one of the best iron players on tour without question. He would be great. I think Kepka's the pick. Kepka or Fowler would be the pick as far as a story. Do I think either of those two are going to win? I don't know. But if Kepka or Fowler were to win, I think those would be stories. Fowler, if he wins, it's a story because he's back, right? It would be like a big kind of, it'd be like, oh, maybe he's found his form. Maybe he's getting himself back in the game here a little bit. That would be a story. Kepka winning would be a sign of, okay, he's healthy, and everybody look out, right? If Brooks gets healthy and gets back to the form that he had a couple years ago where he was borderline unbeatable, forget it. Like, I think you could mark him down as the favorite at Augusta, and you could call him the favorite at Kiowa and the favorite at Torrey Pines. If he wins, something like this week could go a long way to say that. Now, if he goes out there and just treads water and is T35, then I think you could say, well, Brooks isn't all the way back yet. And then you don't worry about him until further notice. But clearly, if one of those two guys wins, it's a ripple. Like, it creates more than a ripple in the lake of the PGA Tour. It's something to watch. No question. Also, we should point this out, too, before we get out, Ty. European Tour back in action in Abu Dhabi. Big field in Abu Dhabi this week. Roar's playing. Justin Thomas down there playing this week. It's a big-time field over there at the Abu Dhabi, which is it always is. That's a great event. Fleetwood, Rose, Eddie Pepperell, Bezuidenhout. I mean, it's a full field down there in the Euro Tour. The LPGA Tour is back this week. I love watching ladies golf. I'm not the only one. Brooke Henderson's playing this week. I'm totally in. You tell me Brooke Henderson's playing or Nelly Korda's playing, and I'm watching. And that's all I got to say about that. So that's happening. And the old guys are playing at Hualalai. That's great if you like watching old guys play golf, just so you know. And Phil's not in the field because Phil's playing the American Express. Are you interested in watching any of those other tours? Actually, I am. I'm going to watch the Euro stuff, I think, in the mornings.
Can I raise a gripe with the tournament, with the American Express going on this?
Yes. What's the gripe?
Did they really call it the American Express?
Yes.
That's it.
That's the tournament.
The American Express tournament.
Nope. It's called the American Express.
Is this the Masters? You see, people have to care about the tournament before you can just – they're like a one-name golfer, you know? It's like if Jason Kokrak just went on an interview with Bones and said, hey, I want you guys to start calling me Jason now.
Or just Kokrak.
Can't have it.
Yeah. I mean, the Northern Trust does it. It's the same thing that the Northern Trust does in the playoffs. They're like, yeah, no, we're the Northern Trust. It's not the Northern Trust tournament or championship or challenge. It's just the Northern Trust. That's all it is. So this is just the American Express.
Right.
There you go. You in on that? Should we just call it the 3M? Has it earned that status yet? Can we just call it, I'm over at the 3M? Well, the 3M Open? No, just the 3M.
I think it has. Michael Thompson, Matthew Wolff, can you name a better duo?
Hey, Bernhard Langer won it on the senior tour like three or four times. I think it counts, right? It works. It works the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. I like it. So we're going to keep an eye on all of that this week. So we got a lot to talk about for next week's show. We'll cap the winner of this event. We will preview the next event, which is we're going to start that West Coast swing of, I think they're at Torrey Pines next week. So we won't see Tiger, obviously, there at Torrey. We'll see Torrey because it's a U.S. Open preview. I think that'll be a loaded field because a lot of guys are going to want to play there. Obviously, we'll look at if anything interesting happens at Abu Dhabi. We'll follow all of the events of this week and report that back to you. And, of course, give you an update on our daily fantasy. So that will be an exciting podcast next week. So once again, you can check out my friend Ty over at his awesome State Farm firm up here in the Northern Metro here in Minneapolis. He'll be happy to take care of all of your needs. You can look him up. You can check him out. It's Ty Schrupp. That's the leader. He's got the Patrick Price. He's got the Rogers rate, the discount double check, whatever the hell you guys still call yourselves over there. Do you have any of those other names? Do you have a nickname for yourself yet?
Not yet.
Do you have like a Ty, like the Ty, we got to come up with something that alliterates with Ty. that can be interested in price? Like, what can we come up with?
I can come up with something.
Let's think about that. You can also send us in. You can tweet us at Mr. Tim Anderson. You can also drop us a line on the podcast. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts. That would be great. We're looking for, again, something we can use that's alliterative for Ty and his State Farm rates that he offers you, which would be great. And so, and also, like I said, check out Ty. We really would appreciate it. All right. That'll do it for the pod. I want to thank you for listening once again. Thanks to Ty. Enjoy the golf this week, everybody, and we will chat with you soon. So keep your head up. We'll see you next time, and enjoy the rest of this cold week up here in the north. We'll be playing golf soon. See you later.